It's a Miracle.
And Ivy, and you're listening to Black, Broke and Brilliant.
Coming up on today's episode, we'll be discussing recent TV and film hits. So let's get straight into it.
So how are you doing, Sammy? How's life been treating you?
I am okay. I've been working. I've been keeping busy with, you know, work and uni. But also so excited that we hit our first year anniversary.
Honestly, it's Black, Broke and Brilliant's 1 year anniversary. It's our birthday. Happy birthday to us. We did that.
Happy birthday to us. Like, this is our baby's first year. And I cannot believe we have been on the audio waves. Like, people have been listening to our voices for a whole year.
Wow. When I tell you, when we started, I thought we'd be doing this for a few weeks, could have like two listeners, and then we call it a day. The fact that we are here a year later and people actually want to hear what we have to say is kind of mind blowing. But I'm just so grateful. Honestly, thank you to every single person that has supported us and listened and commented on our photos and DM'd us to say that they like the episodes. Like, it honestly means the world to us.
Really, everything you just said, like, I was expecting it to be my mum and like my three friends that were gonna be listening, but the amount of support we've had and just like people saying that they relate to episodes, and it's honestly been amazing. So thank you to all of our amazing listeners all around the world. That too, like 80 plus countries,
bro.
The international, we see you. We see
worldwide. Nah, honestly, I didn't think we'd get here, and I'm just so proud. Like, I know I say celebrate your small wins all the time, but this is a big win and we have to celebrate it. So This is amazing. We did that.
And here is to the next year with more episodes, more giveaways, just more fun. And listen, you're going to be seeing way more dances. So just prepare yourself, you know?
Yes, get ready. There is a lot more to come and I cannot wait. Here's to year two. So before we get into the episode, we have some very exciting news for you guys. There is a new book out by the legend that is Sophie Williams. It's called Millennial Black, and it was released just a few weeks ago on the 15th of April. We already have our own copies. We couldn't wait, and we cannot recommend it enough. It is the ultimate guide for Black women at work. It's literally packed with interviews and insight from trailblazers like June Sarpong, Arja Barber, Candice Brathwaite, Naomi Aki, Monroe Bergdorf, and many, many more.
You know how we love our books, and Millennial Black includes tips on setting boundaries, avoiding the race and gender pay gap, establishing your value, being successful in negotiations, tackling serious issues of workplace sexual harassment, racist abuse, and the future of inclusive working. Let's talk about intersectionality. Come through. Sophie Williams is an anti-racism advocate and a writer for major publications. Prior to her writing career, she had a career in advertising, and she is now a manager at Netflix, leading production planning throughout EMEA.
Yeah, she's incredible. Be sure to follow Sophie on her socials. Her handle is @officialmillennialblack.
Millennial Black is out now in hardback, audio and ebook form, so get reading.
And so back to Netflix and chat. Before we get started, there will be some spoilers ahead. So if you haven't seen Lupin, Them, Bridgerton or Malcolm and Marie, you have been warned.
Okay, so as this is a French show, you know I'm going to put on my accent when we talk about Lupin. I just feel so French, man. Like, GCSE French really did a number on me. But this is a great show. It's new to Netflix. It literally only came out like a month or two ago, and it's starring Omar Sy. If you don't know about him, he was in The Untouchables, Samba, X-Men Days of Future Past. He's literally one of my favorite actors, French Black man. And this show, it's like Money Heist vibes. It's Money Heist, but it's like one man. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's like Money Heist, but make it French. It is so good. Like, even just the parallels of the way that, like, he'll kind of talk through his plan and then you'll see it play out. And he's always one step ahead of everyone and everything. It's just done in the most clever way. And it's so suspenseful, and it's just a great show. It's so good, and I can never predict what's going to happen. I love it. I'm here for it.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Like, that was what I love so much about Money Heist, was that you never knew where it was going to go. And I felt the exact same about this. Like, there's a whole like book element in it as well, where there's like almost a French version of like Sherlock Holmes. So like, when he's younger, he reads these sort of like mystery suspense books, and that's kind of where he got some of his ideas. But the actual plot of the show, so it follows a man, Hassan Diop, who is played by Omar Sy, and he's trying to avenge the death of his father. So when he was a teenager, his dad was framed for stealing this necklace that used to belong to Marie Antoinette. So his dad got sent to jail and ended up like hanging himself. But the whole time he like pleaded his innocence, and his son Hassan is like now trying to avenge his father and like find out what really happened and what really went on.
Yeah, that was a great summary. And what I love about this show is like the lead character, Lupin or Hassan Diop, he has so many names. He has so many names that he goes by, but whatever you want to call him, the main character, he is technically like, his life is kind of inspired by this, yeah, fictitious character that's a spy, and he does loads of really cool, clever things. But he also is like low-key a thief, low-key a fraudster, but he's a lovable one and you love him for it. And the thing is, like, he is just trying to right a wrong. He's trying to understand what happened to his dad and why things were the way that they were. So you're rooting for him, even though he's doing some sus things from time to time.
It's so funny because like when it starts, he goes by one name and you think like, oh, he's this one guy. And then you realize like the whole, he's just playing different characters in every sort of like situation with different people. He's like playing a different character. So you don't even know like what his real identity is or like which character is real until you do. But it's just like the switcheroo, yeah. Like he comes in with the range, he has like different outfits, like when you eventually see his house, he's got like different wigs and beards, and he can just switch up his character, like very fraudstery, very James Bondy. I don't know what to call it, but it's great. It's absolutely great.
And he has like loads of IDs as well, just ready when he needs a different name. I'm here for it. But he's also just like really charming and really smart, and I love that for him.
Yeah, it's so witty. And I would describe this show as like action, mystery, drama. If you like Money Heist, you'll definitely like this. It's like a French version, but it's one man. Yeah. And the thing is, like, he doesn't even really know like what happened to his father, or like he knows he hung himself, but like he doesn't really understand like how that situation went down. So you're almost discovering like what really happened with him, which is good, because I don't like when, you know, they just give it all away, or he just knows all the answers straight away, and it's just like, I'm just out here on a revenge thing. But it's like discovering little things along the way, which is really good.
Yeah, and it's so good because I feel like that way, through each episode, I'm trying to like figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out with him, which I think is so interesting. I love when you can be like that engaged in a show. And it's also just like a really easy watch. I think there are only like 5 episodes, so it goes very quickly. My only criticism is that I wish there was more of it. Like, it's so good.
Literally, because the episodes are only like an average of 50 minutes long, and there's only 5. I was like, bruh, really?
We're just getting started.
I was just getting into it. Like, I'm enjoying this. You're only going to give me 5? Money Heist went on for ages. Like, come on.
Ages. And it's annoying because, like, it ended in a really, like, annoying place, and I genuinely thought there were going to be like 3 more episodes kind of concluding it. I was like, what now? I have to wait a year to find out what happens. I need answers today.
That's the thing, like even when I was watching that last episode, I wasn't watching it knowing it was the last episode.
Yeah, and same. I'm like,
wait, is this, bruh, this is really where we're leaving it? Wow, okay. Wow.
When I tell you, I went to like, you know how it says that when you're on Netflix, it'll be like watch next and the next episode will just load itself. I was like, there must be a glitch in the system because the next episode isn't loading. All of a sudden it refreshes and goes to the homepage and it's like, do you want to watch something else? No, I want to watch more episodes of this show. Why is it finished?
At this point, like if you're, like when you're producing a first series, just produce the second one as well. Mm. If it bangs, then boom, you can give it to people straight away. But this whole like waiting for time, it's just,
Do you know what it is? If you're going to release one series at a time, at least release a good 10-15 episodes. Like 5, what am I meant to do with that?
5?
That's one afternoon's viewing.
Literally, it's like having one slice of a whole pizza, like just one, or just like one bite. I want the rest. Where is it? Yeah.
It's almost like it's almost worse than no pizza. Like, why don't you just wait until you can provide a whole pizza?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Like, episode two, or it's called chapter two, was high key the best episode and just a quality piece of TV. Like, the pacing was great, the suspense, the mystery was fantastic. Like, man broke into jail and then broke out, and I had no idea where it was going. I was like, he's like, hey, why is he in here? How does he think he's gonna get out? How is he gonna get out? I didn't understand where it was going, but it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was like my jaw dropped. I was like, how have you thought of this, and how have you pulled this off? It's so clever. So clever. Like, you're literally on the edge of your seat. Like, what is going to happen? Because you have no idea. And I like, because it's based on this fictional character who obviously like was a spy. All of his like ideas are really just creative and interesting. It's not like he's just robbing people and stabbing people and shooting people. Like, he's actually really creative in the things that he does. So you're like, you're just amazed at how he's getting away with things. Because he does it in the most like original, creative, interesting way.
Yeah, he's the most non-violent criminal. Not even like, I guess the things he's doing is obviously criminal, but he's the most non-violent, just lovable, witty, charming criminal. I'm here for him, you know.
Yeah, it's just so good. And I think like it's so nice once you kind of get to know him and get to know his ways, then like later on in the series, when he does certain things, you like suddenly understand why he's doing it. Like, you're like, oh, okay, he's one step ahead of this person because of this. And I just love that. I love like that feeling of working something out and being right.
Yeah, those kind of shows, I have so much time for them. And the way I actually discovered this, I think it was a thread on Twitter, and it was like, black Netflix shows you should watch, or like Netflix shows starring with like black actors, and because it was French, I was like, definitely here for it. After you know, La Casa de Papel, I got my Spanish fix. I'm like, cool, let's come through with the French shows. And then Omar Sy as well is just an amazing actor, so
yeah,
it's definitely a great watch.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie, there's something about the French language that just hits different. At the end of every episode, I'm just walking around the house like, Lupin, Saint-Germain-du-Pré, très bien.
La Saint-Diop.
La Saint-Diop, l'Arc de Triomphe. Le...
Same things, talk it.
Genuine, I can't. Like, Champs-Élysées.
Is this what you were like in France? Like, just saying, you know, things in English, but with a little French accent.
Un petit chocolat, river. No, that was literally me. Je suis désolée. Like that, yeah, I nailed it. I am bilingual now.
You're like, excuse me, where is le train?
Like, genuinely, I was a mess. But it just makes you feel bougie French. It just makes you feel like a bad bee. Don't know what it is about it.
100%. Now on to our next show. Take it away, Ivy.
Bloody hell, this show was a ride. So this show is called Them. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's so good but so traumatizing at the same time. Like, I have not recovered yet. It's basically like Get Out on crack. It's like if Get Out and The Exorcist had a child, it would be this series. It's a lot. It's a lot, and there are like trigger warnings left, right and center. Every single episode starts with a trigger warning, but like I fully didn't understand what I was getting myself into, and I've seen some things that I cannot unsee, and I'm not really okay with it. But yeah, for some context, so it's set in the early 1950s, and it follows a black family who move from the Jim Crow South to California, basically to escape the rife racism that's there, and they end up moving to Compton, which is predominantly white at this point, which was already wild to me, like to think that Compton, which nowadays you associate with like black people, black culture and black music, that it was once exclusively white. That was wild to me anyway.
That's so crazy. I didn't even know that until you said it and you were telling me about the show. I was like Compton, like Compton,
yeah.
Where like Kendrick Lamar is from, and in the films they just always show it as like the black character. Predominantly white, interesting. And then I do think back to, you know, like red taping and the whole like migration. I'm like, yeah, I see.
It's mad though, because it's like, obviously the 50s was a while ago, but it wasn't that long ago. So to think that there was a point where there was not a single black person in the whole of Compton is crazy.
And for it to be like a complete switch up from like one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
Interest, like really, really crazy. In just like the space of 70 years as well.
Exactly. But yeah, I digress. So yeah, they moved to Compton basically for a better quality of life. And basically that's the last thing that happens. And so it's 10 episodes long, and each episode basically corresponds with one day that the Black family are in that area. And they're really not there for that long, but there is so much that happens. There's so much that goes wrong. It's just, it's so good, but so many horrible things happen, and it genuinely is hard to watch at times. Like, it really is, it's a lot. What I do love about this show, though, is that it kind of mixes genres and themes. Like, there's just so much going on, and you genuinely never know what to expect, which I think is so good. Like, you're obviously dealing with the racism of the white neighbors who basically make it their life's mission to make the Black family's life hell and get them to leave. And they do the most horrible things, and you're just sitting there like watching it, like grimacing through the screen. It's horrible. Like, they all just use the N-word freely. There's a point where they like burn the N-word into the Black family's patio. Like, they poison their dog. Like, they fully go off, and it's so horrible to watch.
Can I just interject for 2 seconds? Because a few days ago, Ivy messaged me like, have you seen Them? And I was like, seen what? You heard Them, it's a show, and you describe it. You're like, yeah, this Black family, they moved to Plains. You described it as if it was, you know, great, fantastic show. I was like, oh, do you know what? I'll add it to the list, yeah? I went home that night. I was in bed. It was late. And I was like, let me watch the trailer of this show. The trailer was enough to put me off. Like, I'm not big on horror films at all. Mm-hmm. And this gave me very Us on steroids vibes. I'm talking Us on steroids vibes. That film alone, like, freaked me out. So yeah. To see the trailer, and I saw, like, blackface and dolls on, like, Black dolls being, like, hung with rope, I said, this is too much for me already. And then I saw something with a little girl trying to go into the closet, and that it was dark and there was suspenseful music, and I was like, yeah, this one ain't for me. I did not know that I was going to sleep that night, and that was just the trailer.
Yeah. That's so true. Now, I'm not even gonna lie, like, this is the first show, because the thing is, I like horror movies, but this is the first show that I watched where I genuinely had to sleep the light on. Like, I was genuinely terrified. I kept looking over my shoulder. I was like, someone's gonna get me, something's gonna kill me in my sleep. Like, I genuinely was terrified. So it's a lot. But yeah, there's, you don't expect it, but there's this like supernatural element to the series. There's basically like this evil presence that lives in the house, and it manifests in different ways for each member of the family. So they all see different things, and they can talk to them, and the weird ghost things like try and convince them to do things. They basically like hypnotize them. There's just so much going on, and it's sad because like they leave, they go outside, and they're dealing with their racist neighbors, like racism at work, racism at school. They go inside their house, and there's this evil presence that's trying to corrupt them as well. I'm like, give this family a break.
Nah, fam. There's one, like, there's horror, but when it comes to just racism, which is a reality, that is even scarier than horror, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even scarier. And the fact that you said you like horror, but even this was too much. How is it like there's an evil manifestation in your house? I get you to move mad, and then outside your house also everyone's moving mad. Where can you go then? Where can you go?
Exactly. And the sad thing is, at the start of the show, they're like, okay, no more running, we've run all our lives, no more running, we're gonna stay here. And I'm like, no, you gotta keep going, because this ain't it. This is not the place where you decide to make your home, because
yeah, you need to run one more time and then hope the next place is all right.
Yeah, you know that song that's like running, that needed to be their theme song, because they needed to not stay there. And the sad thing about it as well is that they basically, the father and the mother of the Black family, both have PTSD. The dad was like a war vet, and he kind of explains that in the war, the American army would basically experiment on the African-American soldiers with like gas and stuff like that. So he has like so much trauma going on, and the mother has basically gone through some really traumatic things as well. So they both also just have visions and see things and people that aren't there and hear voices that aren't there. So you're like, there's just so much going on. You're like dealing with the racist white people, you're dealing with like the evil presence ghost things that are trying to get them to do things, and then they can't even trust what they're seeing because of their PTSD. And it's a lot, Sammy. It's a lot.
Bruh, that's actually, I mean, I'm glad that they've made reference to like these other things that were happening at the time, like especially in the 50s, like during the Vietnam War, and the call for like all Americans, including Black Americans, to go and fight for their country. And there was this whole sort of movement happening, well, like, why should we go and fight for our country abroad when we don't even have our rights here? And yeah, the fact that, you know, they were now encouraging sort of like Black men to, like, you know, be American and like be super patriotic and go and fight for your country, meanwhile like experimenting on them and then also like just send them out to be sacrificed, because in your own country you can't even vote and you don't even have these rights, but somehow they want to send you out to that danger. And then yeah, just the mental health issues you'll have from that, like the PTSD is already enough, like that's already stressful enough, now you want to come and add everyday racism from work and the people that literally live next door to you and in your, this all sounds a bit too much for me. I can't lie.
Do you know what though, there is something that it is an incredible show, and I think to mix like a drama and a thriller and a horror together, like that is an experience genuinely that I've never had before. And I think because you're so emotionally invested and you're watching this poor family just go through the most horrible things at the hands of white people, but then because you're also like aware that you're watching something that is a horror, you're also genuinely terrified. So like emotionally you're stressed, physically you're stressed, and it's just a mad experience. And if you can handle it, I'd recommend it, because it's so good, but it's also just, it is a lot. I don't know. I just think the saddest thing about it is like it's not based on a real family, but you know it's based on real events. Like I think it was over 6 million African Americans moved across the country during the Great Migration, and they would have had experiences like this and probably even worse. And a lot of African Americans are still going through it. So it's hard to watch it and be like fully entertained and fully enjoy it when you know that this is actually still happening.
Yeah. It definitely gave me like Jordan Peele vibes from the start. But as you said, like, even though you know you're watching a show, you also know that this is very, very real. Like these things do manifest themselves in different ways, whether or not it's like as explicit, or even as you said, like this ominous being that's in the house, it's almost like that thing that Black people tend to like carry with them, where you're just always afraid of. It sounds like a lot. I'm going to try it, I doubt it, because it the trailer, when I say the trailer freaked me out, I was like, horror's enough, but then like horror towards Black fam, in every horror film, who's always the first to die?
Honestly.
The bad person.
Always.
Now we want a whole 10 episodes of horror towards Black fam, and yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's annoying because I think the series is incredible, and I think the first like 1 to 8 episodes are probably like a 9 out of 10. They're so good, but the last 2 episodes were just so traumatic. Like there was just so much trauma porn going on. Like there were so many scenes of Black people just being brutalized and just the most heinous kind of things done to them, and just it was horrible to watch. And I get that like that is probably what did happen and they're doing it for shock value, but I feel like those kinds of scenes that are so graphic do more harm than good. I really do. And I think like if we're in a post-racial society where racism doesn't exist anymore and these things don't exist anymore, and you need to turn to TV shows to understand what racism was like, I get showing the most graphic things, but all you have to do in this day and age is turn on the freaking news and you will see a Black person being murdered by a policeman. So it's like, I don't feel like putting those kind of images, those kind of scenes in a show that should be entertaining is going to be helpful. Like it's just triggering for Black people to have to continuously watch Black people go through stuff like that. Like it's not helpful.
Yeah, like first and foremost, I guess it's there to entertain, because like it's a show. It's also maybe to educate and to show different things. But if that sort of entertainment element gets lost, and now you're just showing like actual trauma and things that are like very, very triggering and extremely explicit, then as you said, I feel like that does more harm than good. And it's just like, okay, could we not have still conveyed the whole message? As you said, a whole like 8-9 episodes of all of that, do we now need the explicit and overly graphic images that you know is definitely going to trigger or like at least cause some kind of harm towards Black people?
Yeah,
I'm not exactly. Really sure like that kind of stuff is necessary. I don't really think it is, to be in my personal opinion. But
it's not. It's like when you're scrolling on social media and you see a picture of your friend at the pub and then a pic of like Kim Kardashian, and then you see a vid of some young black boy being like beaten up on the street, it's just like you're going to spaces to like almost escape, and then you're just consistently being reminded of what's happening to black people, and it's just, it's too much because we know what's happening. And the thing is as well with shows like this, you can like infer or imply that something has happened, but I don't get why they always have to show it in the most graphic, gruesome, extended way. That's what's frustrating.
Definitely agree with you.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil anything, but I feel like I just need to give an example of some of the things they showed, because I was not aware, and I can't unsee these things. So for example, there is a character that is like, that is just in blackface, which is already a lot. Like I said, they use the N-word all the time, like it's a casual word. There's a scene where this black couple have their eyes burnt and like gouged out of iron rods.
No.
There's a scene where this black couple are tied upside down and set alight. They burn alive. Yeah. Yeah.
Feel like this episode now has to come with a trigger warning just because you were describing.
Yeah. I'm just trying to protect people, because I'm like, if you're not in that right headspace, it genuinely is not going to end well for you.
Yeah. I'm not watching that.
No, you have to. You said you'd try. Sammy.
That was me trying. The trailer was me trying, and I said nope. And now your description's extra nope.
I played myself is what I did. I need someone to talk to about it, man. And it's annoying as well, because obviously the last few episodes were a lot, and then they basically don't conclude anything. And it's like, why would you put me through all of that to basically end it in the most frustrating place? Like, it's not even like it's a cliffhanger. It almost just ends like, it feels like it's just the middle of an episode and they've just called it a day. I'm like, no, you have to answer some of these questions. I don't know what's going on. This is not okay. And I'm annoyed about it.
I really dislike when shows and films end like that. Just no conclusion. It's just after everything, we're not even going to answer a single one of my questions. It's just going to end here. Cool. Yeah. What was the point?
Genuinely, why would you do that to me? And the annoying thing is they've announced that there will be a season 2, but it's an anthology, so kind of like what's that show called, American Horror Story, kind of like with that. Every season will have new people and it'll be in a new place, so I'm not going to get any answers anytime soon.
No.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I do think it's really good. Like, I think having said all of that, like, I am traumatized, but it was really good. I've never seen anything like that, and the casting was incredible. Like, every single actor in that show just blew my mind. Like, the lead guy was played, but I can't remember his name, but it was played by a guy from South London who was actually in Top Boy.
I know the guy. What's his name now? Bashy is his character. Henry Emery.
Yes, that's the one. Is that his name? I feel like that's his name.
No, Bashy is his name, and he plays Henry Emery. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I thought that's his character's name. I was like, that name is ringing a bell, but I don't know if that's his name. Which is mad, because I'm watching that knowing that this guy is from South London, but in my head I'm like, no, he's not. He is from the southern states in America, because the acting is too good.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Like, when Americans thought that Idris Elba was one of them. Naji. Nope. Daniel Kaluuya. Nah. From Camden.
Nah, black British actors are killing it. Killing it. And I'm here for it. I'm so here for it. So yeah, I'd recommend it, but like, watch with caution, because it's a lot.
Well, to lighten up the mood, why don't we segue to the next show, which is Bridgerton. I know one of our friends is literally going to be screaming in her seats as she listens to this. Bridgerton was like one of the most watched Netflix series of all time. Like, it came out around Christmas, and I just remember it being like, all like, you'd open Netflix and it'd be like, must watch, like everyone's watching it, number one, like top 10 shows you have to watch. And it was thrown in my face a bit too much, and I was like, I don't know if I want to watch this, mainly because it's a romantic sort of TV period drama series, And normally I'm not a big fan of period dramas just because I find them all samey. They always seem to be the same, like very 19th century. Oh, father, if I don't wed, then I shall never amount to anything and I'll be this old wench. Oh no, please, papa. No, I must need a man in my life or else I am nothing. That kind of that kind of energy.
Hang on. It's true though. It's just, it just feels a bit dry. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't, even like The Crown, everyone's been raving about that. And I'm just like, I just could not care less. Like, I know it's meant to be amazing, but I just couldn't watch it. But I'm glad you did because I need someone to tell me about it.
But no, this one, it was actually really good and not what I expected. So yeah, even though it came out around Christmas, this is not one you want to watch with your fam. This is not one you want to watch with your mum or your nan because it is raunchy with a capital R. And it starts off and you think, oh, this is going to be, you know, quite innocent. I can just watch this. Watch it by yourself and by yourself alone.
Which is mad because I don't think you'd expect that from like the title. You just wouldn't. I wouldn't have thought it was going to be that kind of a show.
No, I didn't. Like it all. It just looked like very flowery and like, oh yeah, you know, something that'd be on BBC and you'd watch it. But no, watch it by yourselves, people, to avoid all kinds of awkward situations. But I digress. So, for context, so like essentially it's mating season or dating season in London, and this is where like girls of age debut themselves to the town. In the show they call it the ton. It's just London. I don't know why they say ton instead of town. Like, ooh, this fine young Daphne is debuting herself in the ton, just the town. But anyways, these girls debut themselves to the town in the hope of finding an eligible bachelor and getting married. So it's like all the families, like any girl who is, I think, around 15 or maybe 16 at this time. I don't really know how old they are. But it's like they'll get dresses made and they'll go to like parties. And it's a whole season of basically just like dating and courting. So this one girl, Daphne, she's like one of the main characters, I guess. There's a lot of characters in it, but I'd say she's like one of the main lead actresses. And she gets given the title like the diamond of the season, which is essentially like the girl who you think is definitely going to get married. Like she seems to be like the most eligible, the most like put together, and it's almost like placing bets on like who's going to get married. And it's the queen, I believe. It's the wife of King George III. I believe her name is Princess Charlotte or Queen Charlotte. Oh. But they also have her in it, and she's like the one who kind of dictates how things go. But essentially, like, the plot is Daphne gets this suitor that she doesn't like. He's a bit of a creep. He's an older guy. Something about, a lot about him is very, very off. And like, she doesn't like this suitor, but her brother has scared away all of her other suitors. And so there's just this one guy. So she's like, I don't want him. And then there's also the Duke of Hastings, who is played by Regé Jean Page. And he doesn't want to get married. He's a man about town, you know, he's happy doing his thing, tapping and dashing, sleeping around. He's not trying to get married, but like both their parents or both their families are like really pushing for them to get married and, you know, have an heir, not together, but just like separately. So they're like, you don't want to get married to this guy. I don't want to get married at all. Why don't we just pretend that we're courting? That way, you know, everyone will get off our backs. And that's essentially the main plot. But then there's also other stuff that goes on as well.
Do tell.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That actually sounds really good. I actually might watch this now.
Yeah, so I didn't really know what to expect. I thought it was going to be, you know, like very, very standard. But that whole element, I was like, okay, now you've hooked me with a bit of interest. So whilst they're almost like fake courting is going on, there's also like other families and other girls who are also, you know, courting and looking for eligible bachelors. But in the midst, in the background of all of this dating season in London, there is this writer called Lady Whistledown, whose identity is completely unknown. And she writes this daily newsletter and she knows everybody's business. So she just spills the tea on everyone in these daily newsletters. I'm talking affairs, secret pregnancies, secret children,
Oh my God.
People sleep. She knows all the tea and no one has any idea like who she is or how she's finding out about it, but she's always got the goss and it's like the day will come and she'll be like, oh, I hear this person is courting this person and I heard this happen with this person. And it's just, it's great. And you know, another great thing about it is like Julia Andrews is the voiceover for like Lady Whisper.
No way.
It's just a thing of absolute perfection because she's just got the most like soothing Britishy, just, why did I say Britishy instead of British? That's so
bold choice, but run with it now. I don't know.
Yeah. But she's,
it's true that she's got like the most comforting voice ever. Like her voice is just like a hug.
It's literally that. And so like her voice is almost like this ominous figure that kind of sees all and just knows everyone. I just love that there's a spilling of tea element and it's really accurate.
Yes, I just, this Lady Whistledown character, I want to be her when I grow up. I want all the tea and I want to spill it in newsletters. She sounds like, she low-key sounds like Gossip Girl. I'm here for it.
Literally, I think that would be the comparison, like Gossip Girl, but make it a period drama that's set in London.
Yes. I need to watch this. Anything with tea, I'm sold.
But it's like, so this one girl, she's like courting and like trying to find an eligible bachelor because she's secretly pregnant and like she wants to get married before, you know, it comes out that she's pregnant. So there's all kinds of scandals. There's this one guy, he's got a secret child that no one knows about. It's a lot of like, oh, you must be pure and oh, da, 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 da. And oh, something else that it is good for. It's like sexual awakening-ish. I'll guess, because with Daphne, like, because she's obviously like courting and her mother is expecting her to get married, she doesn't really tell her about certain things and the girl just has to discover it for herself.
No, and it's sad because I'm guessing back in the day they didn't exactly have Google, so that's a bit of a sticky one.
There was none, and at one point, like, at one point she goes to the maid and she's like, can you please explain to me exactly how things work?
No, not her asking the maid about the bedroom, nah.
It's so funny, but yeah, there's so much going on. And do you know what else I love about it, right, is that the cast is all diverse. Like there are so many black people and people of color, and it's just great, because another reason why I dislike period dramas is because there doesn't seem to be anyone else except white people. So only white people existed back then, which isn't accurate. So it's good to see a nice diverse cast. But also something else that you'll love is that, so in like, I guess the segues into scenes, there's like orchestral music playing because there's a lot of, you know, like events and dances that people go to. And I was like, where do I know this, you know, orchestral song? Bearing in mind, it's like violin and cellos. And it was an orchestral version of Thank You Next by Ariana Grande. How fitting. How fitting.
I need to hear this immediately. I need to watch the show immediately. That is incredible. I never thought I'd see the day.
It was like the suitors coming in and out, and it's like, thank you, next, next, next. But with violins. It was so sick.
And cellos. No, that's incredible. I need to hear that immediately. That's too funny. That is too funny. I'm here for that.
Great. And yeah, they do that with like a lot of like pop songs. So I'll just be listening to like a violin and I'm like, wait, I know this tune. And it's just like a pop song, which is great. And you know, just the aesthetics of the show, like it's all very nice and colourful and pretty. And those are pastel colours. Like the art, I don't know who the art director was, but the styling and the setup is A1, I must say.
Yeah, it's just so aesthetically pleasing. It's just so nice to look at. It just feels very like, yeah, comforting. It's so pretty. I'm here for it.
Yeah, yeah. And it was also produced by Shonda Rhimes, who gave us Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. So obviously she went in.
She's a legend. She is actually a legend. What would we be watching without her? She's a queen. All hail Shonda.
Grey's Anatomy is long. And everyone and their nan seems to be watching it all the time, rewatching it.
It's so good. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing?
I have that kind of time. There's like 16 seasons or something. What?
Yeah, it took me about 10 months to catch up, but it was the best 10 months of my life.
10 months? Like 2 months under a year?
Yeah, it was so worth it, man. You need to do it. Like,
it's the same with Scandal as well. There's about like 25 episodes in a season, and there are, I don't even know how many seasons there are. I'm on 5 right now. She does do a great series. She does great series. Whether I have the time to watch them all, I don't know.
You need to find the time is what you need to do, because it's so good, so good. Also, I heard there was like a lot of controversy surrounding I don't know the characters' names, but the two that basically decided to kind of pretend that they were like together when they first actually hooked up. Apparently, loads of people were kicking off about it, but I don't know why.
I can't remember why. It would be weird.
Yeah, they were like, I don't know, yeah, people were kicking off and they were being like, it kind of feels like it's borderline assault the way that it happened or something like that. And I wondered if there was any truth to it.
Do you know what? I remember hearing this before I watched it, but when I did watch it, I can't remember there being anything wrong. There was a bit that was like a little bit assaulty, but it wasn't with him. It was with the suitor who she didn't like, and he kept trying to force it, and she ended up punching him in the face.
Love that for her.
But no, when like Daphne and the Duke got together, I'm trying to think. I can't remember anything. It was a lot, like very raunchy, as I said. But I can't specifically remember something being awry.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Maybe I've been convinced anyway, so maybe I'll have to watch it for myself.
Yeah, it was definitely an easy watch. Like episodes are what, like 50 minutes to an hour long, and there were only 10, so it is an easy watch. And like, yeah, the colors and, you know, the styling and the outfits are just like really, really cool, and the music's all like really good. I'd say it's probably like a little bit predictable, just because it's a romance, like you kind of know what's gonna happen. But I hear they're making a season 2, but Regé Jean Page isn't gonna be in it, which seems to like, everyone is really upset about that. Everyone just could not get enough of Regé Jean Page.
Have you seen him? Have you seen his face? Are you surprised?
I have seen his face, but I'm also wondering if it was just the fact that, you know, you see him naked a lot in this, and whether that made people move a bit mad. I don't know, like I understand it, but it was just like, rah. There was at one point everything on all the social medias was just I'm saying his name wrong, it's Regé Jean Page.
Put some respect on his name, Sammy.
I know, I've said it so many times now.
It's true though, like everyone kept banging on about this spoon scene. I was like, I have not watched this show, I don't know what you're on about, but everyone was just thirsting all over that guy.
So much thirst. But yeah, he has been acting and been around for a while, but I'm glad, you know, if this is the show that he blows up to, good for you.
Yeah, I love that he just dipped after the first season, though. I don't know why I find that so funny.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh, that's weird. But then when I think of how it ended, it's like that there's not that much that they could have done, really.
Yeah, fair.
Nothing that would have been like surprising or like really, really entertaining. So I kind of get it. But I hear that they're going to introduce a new character I can't remember what her name is, but she was in Sex Education, the Asian girl who's friends with the really bitchy one. I can't remember her name.
What is her name? I know who you mean. I can't remember her name, though.
I can see her face. I can't remember her name, but I love like when they're across, it's not really a crossover, but I love seeing like...
Kind of, it's like a Netflix crossover.
In other shows, yeah, it's a Netflix crossover, so I'm excited to see her, and you know, rooting for our British actors and actresses.
Yeah, maybe I'll actually watch it before season 2 comes out. And then on to our fourth and final film, Malcolm and Marie. I don't even know what to say about this film, so just I don't know what to say. Okay, so it stars Zendaya and John David Washington, who are also both producers. And as incredible as they are, they couldn't even save this film. The plot.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It was just like, there was so much hype. Like, you expected so much. Like, Zendaya, J- John David Washington, he's just done Tenet, he's just done Black Klansman, two phenomenal black actors. They're coming to give us the most. And we got that.
I'm fuming. The annoying thing as well about this is, like, I turned it on, it was black and white. I was like, why is it black and white? Okay, then I realized very quickly that there are only two people in this whole film, which I was already not happy about. And then they were only in one setting. And I was like, okay, this storyline, these conversations are going to have to bang to hold my interest. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot. It was basically just an hour and 45 minutes of John David Washington yelling at Zendaya and Zendaya being passive aggressive. And I don't know why they put us through that.
The thing is, it took Ivy so long to watch. Like, I had to convince her to watch it. She was like, I don't know if it's any good. Watch it for me. And then I told her, and she was like, yeah, I don't think I need to watch it.
I was like, why would I want to? I watched the trailer and I was like, I feel like that's all I need to see of this film. Like, what more is there to possibly say? And the thing is, that's annoying. Like, they obviously have this argument that starts very early on into the film. Zendaya says, listen, there's nothing good going to come from this conversation because we're both angry. They continue to have a conversation anyway. They're just yelling back and forth at each other. They're having the same argument over and over and over again. And I'm like, this could have just been a 10-minute clip. We did not need to make this into a whole full feature film.
Yeah, it definitely could have been a short film, and it would have been better than, you know, watching an hour and a half of it. At first, I thought the whole black and white element would throw me off, just because I haven't really watched, like, films in black and white. I was actually fine with it. I was fine with the whole black and white element. That, cool, calm. As you said, when you now realise that it's just the two of them, I guess because it was filmed in lockdown and they're just in one setting, those kind of films, very, very risky. It's either a hit or a miss, because there's only so much you can do. And as you say, it's like, how far can the conversation really go? But this, it's just the fact that she starts off saying, we shouldn't have this conversation, it's not going to end well. What do they do? Continue to have a conversation. Does it end well? It does not.
Exactly. And that's on foreshadowing, because she was right. She was right. Their relationship's just so toxic, and they're just, the way they argue, it's like horrible to watch. There was a point where he said something like, you want to hurt me, but I can hurt you 10 times worse.
Yeah.
What in the abuse is that? Like, what is that?
Yeah. It's weird because he starts off like almost like nice, and you think, oh, I'm gonna like, he seems like a nice person, like, oh, he seems likable, I'm gonna like him. But you realize his character is one of those people who seems really nice but is really just like a dickhead and a complete twat and just very, very mean and toxic. And the whole thing is just an argument, and it's loud. And there's this one part where he's literally screaming at her for the longest time, and he's just yelling. And I was like, when does this stop? It felt like 10 minutes worth of him just screaming, and I was just like, who okayed this? Why am I listening to him scream for this long?
Yeah, like, he's just such a misogynist. He's such an unlikable character. And the sad thing about it was, he's a film director, and I think he won an award and gave a speech, and this whole argument started because he forgot to thank Zendaya's character Marie in the speech, which is a valid reason to be upset. Sis just wants to be appreciated, and he somehow turned it around and made himself the victim and just started screaming at her for 2 hours. That is like such a valid reason to be annoyed, but he just took it as an opportunity to make her feel worthless.
Yeah, it's like, how can you take a small, let's say, mistake, mishap, and make a 1.5-hour movie out of it? That's what it seemed like. Because as you said, it's, oh, he forgot to, you know, thank her in his speech. But then they just start unpacking it. Well, it actually wasn't really about the speech. It's the fact that, you know, you didn't ask me to star in the film, and it was really about my life, and you're a user, and you did this. Hey, I got you out of rehab. And just straight yelling. Then it's just straight yelling.
Like, there were so many times where I just checked out. I just zoned out of this film because I was like, I can't engage in this. Like, it's just that level of, like, that volume, that level of anger, that kind of screaming, that's not entertainment. That's just noise.
I kept waiting for it to get better, and I was like, no, there must be something. And for me, I don't think it did. I felt like it started off well, and then I wouldn't even call it a climax. It got loud and there's a bit of tension and you're just like, oh, something's happened. And then it just stayed there and it never dipped. It just stayed loud and high and intense and argumenty and yelly and toxic. And it didn't really move from there. But another issue I have with it is because, as you said, like Malcolm, who was the character, is a film director, and he goes on this rant, this 10-minute rant where he's screaming at her about being a black director, and this white critic writes something about, you know, how it's like really revolutionary, and he's like, why is it because I'm a black actor that everything has to be like revolutionary or about race? Like, why can't it just be because I'm good? And it's like a 10-minute long rant about, you know, a white critic and why things have to be racialized. 10-minute long rant. The actual director of the film is a white man, and you feel like he's just using this film as an opportunity to, you know, like, just send shots at, I guess, film critics who may or may not have liked his work.
Yeah, literally, like, you can feel the writer just venting through these characters, and it's really, really annoying. Yeah, and it's the fact that, like, yeah, he is obviously a black film director lecturing Marie about racism in the industry and how difficult it is being a black director, and it's like, how could you possibly know that as a white man writing this character? Like, how could you know what it means to be a black director in Hollywood when you're a white man? Like, how could you know? How could you know? Like, that's not your place to say.
Oh yeah, sorry, as you mentioned, yeah, the director, the white director, is also the writer, and he's also produced it as well as Zendaya and John David Washington. So you're just like, it, like, contextually, if we consider the historiography, it's not really adding up or making any sense whatsoever.
It's not. It's not. And like you said, he does spend a lot of time discussing film critics and all of, like, the bad reviews he gets. Like, Malcolm spends a lot of time venting about bad reviews. And again, I just feel like the writer in his personal life was attacked by some review, and this is his way of trying to at them for it. I'm like, who hurt you?
I couldn't even describe the plot or, like, what the point was or what you would get out of it. Like, even just trying to describe it, it's a bit of a weird one because nothing really happens. It's just an hour and a half of, like, yelling and arguing and just very, very toxic behavior. And it's just the fact that it keeps going from, like, hot to cold. So they'll argue or get really, really intense, really, really loud, and then they'll have a moment where they'll start, like, kissing each other and being all sensual, and then it will just go back to, no, but you did this one time, arguing, being really, really horrible and, like, saying very hurtful things, and then going back to being, oh, kind of sensual, and then it goes back again. I'm just like, I can't.
Like, I don't even know what they wanted us to take away from it. I was just kind of like, okay. Like, they literally were arguing the whole time. They eventually went to bed, then they went and stood outside for a bit, and that was the end of the film. I was like, what was the point of all that? And as well, like, I was thinking about who their target audience is, and I don't feel like this could have been made for black people, because the way Malcolm's character mansplains racism, I'm like, black people know this. So why are you explaining it in this way? Like, I don't feel like it could be for us, because we know this already. Like, this is not brand new information.
Yeah, there was, I don't feel like it, the discussion about race was authentic. It seemed very, like, buzzwordy and coming from a perspective that isn't that of a black person. I don't know, it just seemed very, yeah, like, buzzwordy, as you know, sort of mansplaining things. From his perspective, it was a bit confusing.
Yeah, and just, like, yeah, Malcolm was just, like, the least likable character ever, and the way that he would basically, like, mansplain their relationship to Zendaya as if she's not in it, and he'd mansplain racism to her as if she's not a black woman. I'm like, what's going on here?
That part is strange. And do you know what, I read a film review where they discuss, like, the age difference, and I get, like, she's an adult woman and she's an actress, and, you know, he's an adult man and he's an actor, but one thing they mentioned, they were just like, in the film, they could have done something to at least address the age gap, because at certain points it does feel a bit strange.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a weird one, and, like, they could have just thrown something in there.
They should have.
It seems odd because of the way, like, Malcolm's character describes, like, I pulled you out of the gutter when you were nothing, and you were like this, and you were low, and I guess her character is supposed to be like quite young, maybe like her current age, which is around what, like 23, 22, but her character seems quite young.
Yeah.
And then the way he describes their relationship just seems like, oh, I did this and this and this and that for you. You should be grateful. Kind of sugar daddy-ish-esque. I don't know how to describe it. They've got a very strange relationship.
Yeah, they definitely should have addressed the age thing. But it's weird because he does say that. He is like, oh, I helped you. I pulled you out of the gut. And then Tutu's there arguing and he's like, you're broken. You're beyond repair. You are damaged. You will always be into drugs. You're not going to go anywhere. And it's like, well, what is this? What is this? And why am I having to watch it?
It's like, so what, now I have to be grateful to you and I have to show grace every single time. Even when you're in the wrong, I still have to be grateful because you're now lauding this whole thing and the fact that, you know, I was struggling with these mental health issues. You're going to keep lauding that over my head. Yeah, when it comes to broken, I was just like, we didn't need to go here. We didn't.
Like, I was just watching this and I was like, why are you together? Like, what is the reason? Because I can't think of one. This is not working. I think
of a single good reason. And it seems like their characters couldn't either.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why don't we write into the plot them breaking up? And I would have actually been okay with that. But there was no storyline. There was no plot. It was like, they're arguing, then they're not. Then he's eating mac and cheese. Then they're arguing again. Then they're not arguing. Then they're in the bed. Then they're arguing. What is that?
Yeah, I like these two as actors in other films. This one I shan't be watching again.
No, this one was a no from me. Do you know what though? I did like watching Zendaya in a more grown-up role because obviously she usually plays teenagers, and in this one, she's steamy. It is steamy. The scene where he was like biting her bum, I was like, okay, sis said you gotta eat the booty like groceries, and I'm here for it. That's called growth.
Oh gosh, that is actually hilarious. That's fantastic. I feel like that's a great note to end on.
What more is there to say, honestly?
Oh, this is a good time though to shout out some other shows and films that are just doing amazingly. Like Judas and the Black Messiah. Our broski, Daniel Kaluuya, man from Camden himself, who won an Oscar. And then just before that he won a Golden Globe?
It was something.
He's out here winning awards for his portrayal of Chairman Fred Hampton. Fantastic. Could not be happier for Daniel Kaluuya. His speeches are just hilarious as well.
No, the speech at the Oscars. Why did he do that? Why did he do that?
It was all going so well. Smoothingly well. Ecstatically well. And then he went and made the comment. He was like, yeah, my parents had sex and now I'm here. The thing was, his mum was in the audience. And before that, he was like, I'd like to thank God. I'd like to thank my mum for doing all this. And she's like, oh, smiling, sweet. And then he just completely diverges. And she just looks at him like, the fuck is this child saying? If you don't stop, I will slap you. Her face just said it all. And it was just hilarious.
It's just the fact that the camera panned to her face in that moment. Like, that cameraman deserves a raise. That was quality TV. Yeah, she was like, this is not my son. I don't know who that person is. That is not my child. She was embarrassed.
For real, embarrassing. She was like, why couldn't you have just stopped there?
In it? Like, he could have just stopped, like, 20 seconds earlier and it would have been the perfect speech.
He's hilarious.
But no, he deserves all the awards. He deserves all the flowers. He is incredible. And I cannot wait to watch the film. I'm annoyed that I have to pay £14 to watch it on Amazon Prime. So I'm not going to do that. But when I do watch it, I'm sure it will be incredible.
No, do you know the funny thing was when, like, you were going to watch it on your sister's Amazon Prime account and Amazon, she went there like, for hours and Amazon literally said, like, you can't watch this film. She was like, but it's still within the 24 hours. They were like, no, because the film is longer than the time you have left to watch it.
Which, you know how rude that is?
Rude.
Do you know how rude? Like, my sister fully paid for it. She watched it. She said, you can watch it. And I said, calm, I have 24 hours to watch this. I was working. I had a job to do. I couldn't just watch it immediately. The next day I finished work, I was like, great, I still have more than enough time to watch it. And I try and watch it and it says no. And I'm like, but why not? And the annoying thing was, I think I had like 10 minutes under the amount of time I needed to watch the whole film. And because of that, they said I couldn't watch it.
That 10 minutes, like, it's fine. Credits as well.
Just the credits. I don't need to watch the credits. And they were like, no, it's a no from us. So rude. Daylight Robbery. But yeah, one day we will watch that. I also cannot wait to watch Without Remorse featuring Michael B. Jordan on Amazon Prime. That looks amazing.
Anything with MBJ. Anything with MBJ.
We're there. Do you know what though? I'm loving that there are a lot more films that are featuring and starring Black actors and actresses. Like, it's about bloody time. I would love there to be more films where these Black characters are just living their best lives and aren't always going through trauma. But it's good that at least representation is increasing.
Yeah, like, I just want to see them being quirky and, you know, and riding bicycles and, you know, just enjoying life and sitting in a field of flowers and roses and just, you know, being regular, normal people. That would be nice to see too. But this stuff is good. That stuff will also be nice as well.
Exactly. And if you want to share your thoughts on the episode, use the hashtag BlackBrokenBrilliant on Twitter or message us on our Insta page. You know what to do.
Like, give us a follow, give this episode a rating on Apple Podcasts, share it with your mums, your grands, your boss and your friends.
We'll be back next Thursday. I've been Ivy.
I've been Samiracle. Thanks for listening.